continuing in our journey in Hilchos Deos. And we started yesterday Halacha Dalet, but I'll just start Halacha Dalet from the beginning so we can do it complete. Haderech HaYeshara hi midah beinonit shebechol deya v'deya. Right? So the straight path, the smart thing, the right thing, the correct thing, is to find the middle ground. U'mikol ha'deyot sheyesh lo la'adam, in every midah, in every character trait. V'hi ha'deya shehi rechoka mishtei ha'ktavot rechuk shaveh. Ve'ina krova lo zu v'lo zu. And this is the place in that character range that is equidistant from both extremes. Right? And we said yesterday that we have to figure out how one figures that out. L'sichach, tzivu chachamim harishonim, shehi adam, sham, okay, not sam, but sham, lashum is to measure, okay? Therefore, a person, okay, the chachamim said, chazal say, that a person should sham deotav tamid, should always be measuring, assessing his character. Where you are, am I in the middle? Have I let myself move towards an extreme? You don't want to get to an extreme. It's like, let's say you figure that you're, I don't know, it's a dangerous thing to do, but I'll use you an example. Can I use you an example? Will you forgive me in advance for whatever mistake? Okay. So you seem to be a relatively healthy person, and you're in reasonable physical shape, whatever it may be, right? You'll, Bezrat Hashem, you'll get married. Hashem should bless you. You get married. You have children. You have a good relationship with your family, whatever. If you don't do anything different, okay, than what you're doing now, and you stop exercising, you will get, you know, heavier. That's just the nature of the beast, right? And if you do that for a long, long, long time, and you eat lots of the things that you eat now, without knowing you well enough to know if that's true, but I'm willing to bet, then one day you'll be very, very heavy, right? Now, that may not bother you, and that's okay. That's an interesting question, but let's say it does. So if you decide that that's challenging, then if when you get married, you decide you're going to weigh yourself once a week, even though it seems ridiculous because you don't need to, right? You will find that you will notice much more quickly when you have an issue to deal with, right? If you realize that you're sleep deprived in a significant way. So when you're 18, being sleep deprived is not a huge issue. It has to be very extreme for it to affect you physically to a great degree, right? As witnessed, by the way, guys in the army. I mean, when I was in the army, you go like, you know, we had what's called Shavua Milchama. Shavua Milchama, which we did every so often, there was a particular part of our basic training when they did this for a week. What they would do is they would wake you up on Tuesday morning. You would go out to Shetach, out to like whatever the field with the tanks. And you would be out in Shetach until Thursday night. Tuesday, you would do maneuvers all day. You would do maneuvers all night. You know, you would, the breaks that you had were not significant enough and you weren't allowed to go to sleep. The same would happen on Wednesday. Wednesday night, you were doing night maneuvers, but they were a little less complicated because they were nervous because you were tired. Thursday morning, you still weren't allowed to sleep. Okay? Now, you're going now 48 hours without sleep. You can barely stand. Okay? People are banging into things, etc. At this point, you come back from Shetach because it's too dangerous to be out in the field doing maneuvers when you're on that little sleep. And you now have to work on your tanks all day. And the mission of your sergeants is to make sure that nobody goes to sleep. Finally, and you have what's called a Laila Levan. You have to be up all night working on the tanks. And people think that the most challenging thing in battle is like fear and terror. It's not true. The most challenging thing in battle is the overwhelming despair that comes from exhaustion. All you want to do is just curl up in a corner and put your head down and go to sleep. And it's only when you're in a war, God forbid, that you realize why that training was valuable, because you've learned that you can manage and you can make things work, right? So that's an extreme. And they take 18, 19, 20-year-old boys and they do this to them on a regular basis, and they're okay. They manage. If you would do that to 60-year-olds, they would have heart attacks. They would get sick, right? So you get to extremes, you have to know when something that wasn't an extreme is now an extreme. You have to measure, right? How do you measure these things, right? That a person should measure his character trait always, and assess them. Don't forget your thought, Rabbi. And should attempt to direct them towards that middle ground. So that a person will be complete in his. How would you finish that sentence? You have to measure your character traits. You have to make sure you're in the middle of the ground, constantly assess them, direct them, move yourself back to the middle ground so that you will be whole, shalem, in his, so a person will be whole in his what? Complete. At peace in his what?
Self.
Pardon?
Self.
Self would be good. That's not what it says.
Mind.
mind would be great. It's not what it says. You know what it says? It says shalem begufo. So a person will be whole in, of body. Now, the first time I saw this in the Rambam, I noticed that. I said, that's strange. That's just a strange. I actually wondered if it was a typo. You look at the Rambam, it's clear that that's what the Rambam says. Why does the Rambam say that? Why is it that finding the middle ground will allow you to be whole of body? I would think measure where you're at in your body to be whole of soul and spirit. So somebody wanted to say something before, and then I'll explain this. Anybody? No? Forgot? Okay. So why would you think that the body is important? So I want to tell you something very deep. And it took me a while to understand this, and I'm still processing it. Okay? If Hashem created us, okay? If Hashem created us, and everything about us is created by Hashem, then that means that everything fits. There's a balance between mind and matter, body and soul. It's all part of one system. Okay? And I'll tell you something interesting in the way that Hashem created us. Now, I want you to know, if we would have had this discussion 20 years ago, when I was coming out of Gush and had not yet experienced the old city and Israelite and all the things I've experienced since then, I don't know if I would have noticed this. But over the years, teaching here, working in the old city, spending time here, especially in a place like Israelite, you start to see things that just catch your attention. And I'll give you an extreme example, okay? We were doing an Israelite program. We started an Israelite program. And it was like the second day of the program, right? And first day, I don't know. And some guy walks in and sits down. He wasn't part of the program because we had a whole system to interview prospective students and applications, you know. You have a certain responsibility to the group that's coming to study with you, you know, that you have a student body. You don't get some, you know, you can get some crazy characters. You have to always have your radar on because every once in a while, and you'll see this at some point this year, people will wander in here. Like the old city is a unique place. You know, I had a guy wander in here once dressed in, like, biblical clothing, if you've seen that around at all, with a harp who thought he was King David. Mamash sat down, asked if he could play while we, you know, like, okay, off the deep end a little bit, but that's just my perspective, but okay. And so this guy walks in, and he looks like he just came out of, you know, like a yoga Buddhist pajama party, right? He's got, like, these white, you know, you ever see these white, baggy, kind of meditating in India, pajama-type clothing, right, loose ponytail, you know, and just looked very kind of spiritually at peace. And he comes in and he sits down with a great smile on his face and he's just listening. So he wasn't doing any harm. I said, you're fine, you know. So I walk over to him after the class and he's sitting and listening, whatever. And he starts telling me a little bit about his story. He's actually a boy who was born in Brooklyn. He was about 50. He was born in Brooklyn and he spent, I don't know, 10 years in Japan and 8 years in China. He was a master of sorts in all sorts of different Far Eastern, Near Eastern disciplines. And we're talking. He goes, wow. He goes, you know, you broke your hand. I look at him, I say, huh? So he's like looking at my hand and he says, you know, he takes my hand. He goes, you know, you broke your hand, right? And it's never really healed properly. So I thought, okay, it happens to be that I did break that hand once. It happens to be that... He goes, do you ever experience pain? I said, well, every once in a while, I have like this, you know, painful sensation, and then it goes away. He goes, you know, I can fix that. I said, okay. He goes, would you like me to fix that? So I didn't know what he was talking about. So I said, you know, yeah, I guess so, right?